Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Listener discretion is advised for explicit content.
Jim Morgan!
I love Jim. He was wonderful.
I have mixed feelings about Jim. I was smitten.
I found it amazing that he could be a purveyor of a strip club.
Enjoy the biggest new show in California.
And a lover of Ronald Reagan.
Quite the business person.
All aboard the Nudie Cutie Express. Party boats. Hypnosexism. The Monster Woman, world famous lay girls and lay boys. If nudity offends you, please feel free to rise and leave the theater at this time.
Still here? Well, you've been warned, because we're going to strip down to tell you the story of Cotta Pierce Morgan's late husband, James, because he's where the story of lay girls and stripper energy really begins. His unwillingness to be a silent bystander led to a lifelong battle against abuse, corruption, and the narrow-mindedness of polite society. Get ready for Let It All Hang Out, or How a Texas Baptist Went All Nude to Shock San Diego. I need to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, fighting back from the fringes. And just a reminder, this is also available as a video podcast. Go to kpbs.org/stripperenergy for more information.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, co-presenting Mayrig with Art of Elan on January 29th at The Loft. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
James Morgan was born in Dallas, Texas, and he grew up there. So, you know, most of us, we always thought of him as a Texan. Everyone calls him Big Jim. He was someone who could solve problems. You know, he was like a father, you know, to some of us, a mentor to others. And even when he was in the Navy, you know, when he was stationed here in boot camp and he fought, he was a boxer. They called him the Texas Tornado, and he was absolutely that. You know, while in the Navy, he had started his own trucking company by the time he was 22. Okay, when Jim was a young Navy man, he bought two city blocks on Home Avenue, and he paid for it by selling the top dirt. So one day, the state of California came with their bulldozers, and they were going to bulldoze for a street going right through his property. And in true Texas form, he came out with a shotgun. He did, and he held them off.
Still in his 20s, Jim displayed an entrepreneurial flair that would stay with him his entire life and keep him busy with multiple business interests pulling him in a variety of directions. But in 1958, a new business endeavor would ignite a lifelong antagonism with the city of San Diego.
He started an auction business, and he ran into the bribery that was taking place, and he refused, and so therefore they wouldn't give him the auction license. And he ended up having to sell the property. And of course, that was the beginning of this resentment and depression he had, you know, about the unfairness of at least San Diego, you know, at that time.
I feel I'm losing my faith in God. I've worked harder than 20 men. Everywhere I turn, there's corruption. I sure made some enemies. The planning commissioner and the zoning will not let me properly develop the two city blocks I own. Therefore, I was forced to sell my two city blocks because thoughts of blowing up the city council began entering my mind.
So then he said, okay, I'm not going to blow them up. What am I going to do? I'm going to run for mayor.
And he did, coming in second out of six candidates. And if the city wasn't going to let him develop the land he'd bought, he'd find something else to do. Being a Navy guy, he took to the water and tried his hand at party boats in 1961, promising landlocked party planners a salty, fun-filled outing on the bay. But that only led to a run-in with the Port Authority, which canceled his lease to keep the boats anchored. So he headed back to dry land to launch yet another business endeavor in 1966.
And so he saw this abandoned piece of land. He was always looking for land that had weeds on it. And so it was on the corner of Garnett and Grand. You know, he got it and he opened up Jim's Barbecue and Steaks and ultimately the Left Bank.
The Left Bank began as a restaurant until Jim got an idea.
What do you think about if we put, you know, bring in some entertainment?
The Hollywood Theater, a burlesque venue located on F Street, had just closed. So Jim had dancers and comics who now wanted to work for him. But the shift to make the Left Bank more of a nightclub led to a raid that would change Jim's life and ultimately San Diego's adult entertainment industry. The raid of the Left Bank was the subject of CADA's San Diego International Fringe Festival play this year.
And our show, No Regrets, covers one night.
So in 1968, the Vice Squad came in and they raided the Left Bank. They came in to this beautiful establishment with steaks and cocktails, and they said that they saw pubic hair peeking out.
Hands behind your head.
And they came in and they took them out handcuffed.
Up against the wall.
These dancers, Jim, in front of this very nicely dressed audience. It was a hot spot for couples to go to, and took them out in handcuffs. Jim said, please take us out the back door. They wouldn't do it. They had to parade them through the audience.
The raid was prompted by an exposed pubic hair that Jim argued the cops could not have even seen. The very public arrest shocked the dancers and scared the fashionable couples in the audience. So, being the Texas tornado that he was, he decided to march into the Vice Squad's office the next day to deliver a message.
He went down to the Vice Squad with all the hard-nosed men in suits and said, you're not going to have to worry about a pubic hair showing. Oh, yes, that's great, Mr. Morgan. And then James Morgan said, yes, we are just going to take it all off. We are going nude.
It was at that moment that the Texas Baptist took a career-changing path. He gave up the idea of running an elegant nightclub and instead was going to shove nudity in the face of the city and the cops. And if he was going to be raided again, it would be on his terms.
He told me, I never want to be humiliated like that again. And I'm going to decide where I'm going to be. They can't throw stones at me or try to discredit me or shame me because, you know, we're going to take it all off.
Sidney Kasuf worked for Jim and also considered him a close friend.
But he just wouldn't put up with their stuff. That was the biggest problem between the police and the city fathers and Jim Morgan was Jim would not put up with them messing with him. And he, whenever they did something, he punched back.
And in 1968, he decided to punch back with a strip club. At that time, Bobby Rogers was working as a dancer for Jim at the Left Bank.
And then he decided, well, he wanted to open something else. He's going to open another venue. So we opened Les Girls. I was in a meeting when Jim was trying to figure out what to call this place. And I said, well, Jim, you know, why not call it a French name? Les Girls. La, 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 la. And he says, oh, I like that. I said, yes, but it has to be spelled L-E-S-G-I-R-L-S. So I actually named Les Girls. So I'm very proud of that.
So in addition to its sexy new name, the venue was situated for maximum exposure.
With Les Girls and the high visibility location.
John Barrage would become the lawyer for James Morgan and Les Girls Theater.
It was not what I think the city fathers had in mind for advertising the city of San Diego.
Of course, we deliberately made Les Girls sleazy because we didn't have fancy booths or, you know, flooring or anything like that. It was meant to be sleazy, kind of part sleaze, part brothel. I mean, the carpeting on the walls, you can think brothel at that. So we ended up having the traditional burlesque stage coming through the Left Bank, and two Les Girls were the comics, like Eddie Ware, who performed with Abbott and Costello.
Eddie Ware, he was so funny. And he did a pool table one. Well, what you do is, first thing you do is you rack your balls.
It was kind of campy. So we went back in time a little bit and did some burlesque stuff. You know, but it was fun.
But it was the 1960s and things were changing, and the old burlesque show was about to give way to something new.
During those times, you know, about the time of the raid, there was Supreme Court challenges going on. There was hair, you know, which was banned.
So Jim decided he was going to be a trailblazer.
The Supreme Court ruled that hair that had nudity for the first time on stage was legal, and they lifted the ban.
And that's when the show in the back room, Let It All Hang Out, was born.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the back room. You will be witnessing, for the first time in San Diego, a live stage show in the nude. The members of the cast will attempt to convey that there is nothing about nudity to be ashamed of. That in fact, nudity is warm and beautiful. As you know, we have freely and openly admitted to all concerned, the public, the city officials, and the police department, that Let It All Hang Out will have nude scenes, and by doing so, we feel we are performing a public service. Now, in the event the police raid the play, do not become alarmed. The officers will only be carrying out their orders from downtown, and you as a spectator cannot and will not be bothered, as long as you do not interfere with the officers. In fact, you will truly be witnessing living theater.
During the show, the Vice Squad came in and raided the show and took everybody away in handcuffs. And Jim had asked me, Bobby, he says, you want to do that? And I said, no, I don't want to do that, Jim.
Let It All Hang Out, a comical satire on nudism.
Well, I had been understudying the star of the show, which at that time was Corky Corleone. I started doing the lead, which was Miss Penelope Blowpipe.
And now, on with the show.
Oh, to be in the Easter Parade, everyone must wear shoes and a hat for sure. But the rest is up to the individual. Dresses with the bosoms out are always popular, as well as topless and bottomless gowns. Panties with the crotch out are the fad now, as well as bras with exposed nipples. In fact, I always carry a set in my purse in the event someone is in the mood for going formal. That was Jim. That was his humor.
Can you believe, San Diego? We were so strict and conservative, and it didn't matter what the Supreme Court said. The heck with them.
People were not happy about the nude entertainment industry, and Jim Morgan really was, in San Diego, the pioneer for that.
And he ended up having to go to, like, appellate court. You see Judge Fisher's name on it. He wanted to see the play. So he came to the back room, watched Let It All Hang Out, and he determined that it was, according to community standards, that it was legal.
He brought in nudity, and it never would have happened at all if they had just not set us up, you know, with a pubic hair raid.
Cotta is now the owner of Les Girls Theater and the chief archivist of Jim's life. But the two of them didn't actually meet until 1971.
And I was in the Les Girls parking lot, and this gentleman came out into the parking lot, and he was in a suit, and it was like a gold plaid suit. I mean, that almost sounds stereotypical of a strip club owner. But, you know, he was this, you know, good-looking Texan. I mean, he generated this energy that I found very attractive. And he said to me, "Hi, Angel." And I was smitten.
Let's put it this way. Whether they knew it or not at the moment, everybody knew that they were, like, in love.
One delicious irony to this love story, and perhaps the reason why Jim's adult entertainment businesses had a unique personality, is that the two people who made their living in the risque fringes of society came from conservative Midwestern backgrounds.
I was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Midwest, through and through. So I went to Catholic school. It went really well. I adored it. I adored the nuns. Would have been the nun, except things changed for me. And I didn't start as a stripper. That was not even in my, you know, realm of possibility. Hadn't occurred to me. I was a folk dancer, ballet dancer, modern dancer, because I was only going to do it for 1 month. I was going back to graduate school. And I remember I auditioned, and then I went out to the payphone, and I called my mom, you know, and I told her, Mom, I'm going to dance, and I'm dancing nude, and I'm going to send you money. And that's what I did.
1 month turned into more than 50 years, and along the way, Jim and Cotta changed the landscape of adult entertainment in San Diego.
Lay Girls was predominantly businessmen. Showplace was military, really sweet guys. And the bedroom, they were college students.
It wasn't lewd dancing, it was nude dancing. There's a difference. Lewd dancing is what you get at the bars, where the girls, you know, throw off their top and go after you and do all kinds of weird stuff. These were more like choreographed shows. And they do one song fully dressed, one song scantily dressed, and one song nude. And it was $5. And if you were a Navy guy, there was nowhere else to go. There was nowhere else to go and have a good time and not get in trouble. And Vietnam was going, like, full tilt. And there were a lot of sailors being sent over to Vietnam.
And this is part of their rites of passage, just coming here.
Over near Lay Girls off of Rosecrans was the MTC. That was a military training center which had something like 6,000 people in it or something, you know, at one time for months. And they would be let out on the weekends, and Lay Girls is a box. Showplace was an entire city block. It was, with a theater in the center. Just to give you an idea of how popular this was, at one point on a Saturday, we would run 3,000 people through a night on a Saturday night.
They were often 18, 19, they're teenagers. Because they were in the military, they could come in at 17. So I had children there.
And they were my age. So most of the time, it was like going to work with a bunch of friends.
Pepper was a dancer at both Lay Girls Theater and Showplace.
I mean, for them, they were so lonely, most of them. You know, to have contact where they could slow dance with the girl for a couple of minutes. Oh my God, these poor fellows, they were so happy just to have a little bit of contact and a conversation with a young, pretty girl.
While Cotta and Pepper were comforting lonely sailors, Jim continued to scratch his entrepreneurial itch, pushing the envelope with new attractions like the Monster Woman and hypnosexism.
And he would hypnotize the guys, and they would be up on stage doing crazy things and getting nude. So there was that act, and it was very popular. And what you would also find is the projector. You know, they had the porn.
I need to take one last break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, fighting back from the fringes.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Vitamin String Quartet on February 17th at Jacobs Music Center. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Don't forget about the pink buses.
I'm going to have the Nudie Cutie Express, and to me that was like a protest on wheels. I mean, that big pink bus with Nudie Cutie Express on it was right on the street, and he would drive that thing all through downtown San Diego and all the way up to Oceanside.
Well, we got to get more people here, and see, we could get the young men that were young Marines and sailors and whatever, because we didn't serve alcohol. And they could come in at 18.
I rode it once as he went up to Oceanside, and he was like a carnival barker. He had the door open and he was on the step calling to the sailors,
"All aboard the Nudie Cutie Express."
You know, and it was a thing that, of course, the cops did everything they could to harass us. So, I mean, all I had to do was move it a few inches. And if it hadn't been moved, then you would get a ticket.
And he did not want to give up on his idea of party boats.
Oh, the floating castle.
Well, that is a houseboat being built as a place for people to throw 24-hour parties. Jim Morgan, who looks right now like he belongs in a castle, is putting it all together. Upstairs, there is a deck with a wall around it. The whole idea, he says, is to throw a party where no one will be bothered by the noise and the goings-on. But why a castle?
My grandson here. I asked him what he would like to build. And we had been out to traffic court one day, and we saw this apartment house that was being built with a turret. And we said, there it is. A floating castle is what we're building.
Downstairs, a bar, two fireplaces, a stage, dance floor, bathrooms, etc. Room, he says, for a couple of hundred people.
So to me, the floating castle was his way of in your face. I know why he did these things. And he provoked people.
Which once again meant he ran into trouble with authorities.
They said they're going to take it, but they haven't served me. They've served everyone else. But they haven't served me because they know I'll take up all their time in court.
Jim was someone that, amazingly enough, he had a faith, you know, in government.
And if you can just tell the truth and get to a jury, I know I've got it made.
Jim was an eternal optimist, although he was very, very cynical about the police.
And he brought down a lot of people. And so as a result of that, they came after us.
The above cases represent 113 arrests at the Left Bank, Lay Girls, the Bedroom, and Showplace, in which a citation or notify warrant would have sufficed. The harassment cost to the clubs and employees has been at least $100,000.
He starts a political group, you know, at called Citations Instead of Arrests. And at the very end of it, you know, he's saying that there are these employees, that they may not be heard now, but someday they're willing to testify. Someday you'll hear their voices. And here I am. And here are some of the people you're going to interview. I mean, it just gives me chills because that was 50 years ago, you know, and now we're getting a chance to say what happened to us.
And what happened was an escalating war with the police, who found new ways to harass Jim and especially the dancers at Lay Girls. Coming up next on Stripper Energy is Chapter 3, Climate of Fear, or What Happens When You Poke the Bear.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.